Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for allowing us to be here together tonight. We bless those that can't be here for whatever reasons, but we're glad to be in the house that you're building. Hide me today behind the shadow of the cross. Let Jesus get all the praise, the honor, and all the glory. And we just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that you have given. I'm overwhelmed by this holiday, this whole atmosphere of love and giving and fellowship of people, Father God, not only in this house, but outside of this house, Father, family, friends. It's just been such a spirit of giving. And I know it's because of your goodness. I pray, Father, bless your people beyond their imaginations and reward them according to their faithfulness. This we ask in faith, believing in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say amen. All right, again, don't forget New Year's Eve, Sunday, 10 a.m. Those that are listening by media platforms, we love you. We appreciate everybody. Thank you for all of the support and prayers and Christmas celebration and happy birthday Jesus celebration and, you know, responses that people gave to us in various platforms, whether it was a text, an email, or Facebook, or just in the mail. It's been overwhelming. We have such a large family. Ignited Church is a large family. And some will never meet this side of heaven, but there's coming a day when we're all going to be together around that great marriage supper of the Lamb. Isn't that wonderful? And so I just bless everybody. Just want you to keep yourselves in prayer and be sober about the days we're living in. I will be giving this word prophetically on Sunday, and you're going to hear some things that are going to amaze you about what the Lord has to say. And also I want to mention this. I'm going to be uploading a message called Do Not Touch My Apple. I don't know if you all remember that from last year. It had to do with Israel. And so I'm going to put that up on the website and the app so people can hear it tonight or whenever they want to. And we'll pray about going into greater detail about Israel if the Lord leads me to, because there's a lot of confusion out there about where does Israel stand? Where do the Jewish people stand? Where is all of this in Bible prophecy? And because tonight is not that night, I can just tell you this. It's the center of all prophecy. Jerusalem is the center of all prophecy. The Jews are the center of all prophecy. The whole ending to this thing called life and entering into the millennial reign with Jesus Christ deals with Israel. I've said it time and time again. Prophetic words are wonderful. They come from God. But this is the word right here. Prophecies are wonderful that tells us about the future things. But everything must line up with what God is doing with Israel. And so hopefully some of those questions will be answered with that message. And that was preached, when? September of 2015. And so we're going to be getting that out there. So while the world is going crazy, while things are happening prophetically, souls are being saved. Isn't that right? Souls are being saved. Brother Mike was telling me that in the jail ministry, he went there with Wesley on Saturday night, Christmas night. He went there Christmas night. I think he does that almost every Christmas, I think. They go in there and they minister to these prisoners in the jail cells on Christmas night. Isn't that amazing? Well, the reward was 21 souls. 21 souls were born again on Christmas night, amen, at the local county jail while we were all doing our thing. No condemnation. I mean, we all had our things going on, and while the world continued to spin, God had a plan for 21 prisoners. And so I just wanted to make that announcement that even though the world is going to hell in a handbasket, even though we're making the most grievous and most grave decisions in our nation against Israel, God is still on the plan of winning souls. So thank you, Brother Mike, and the Ignited Jail Ministry for what they're doing over there. I think our number has to be near 500 by from January to today. So probably year to end or year to date, we're going to be over 500, I believe. So isn't God good all the time? Okay. Kingdom perspectives. We're dealing with deception and discernment. Deception and discernment. I hope this has been a blessing to you. The response I've been getting from outside this church building has been tremendous because people are hungry for truth. People are hungry for knowledge. They're hungry to understand what the word of the Lord is and what the plan of God is in the last days. Well, the only way you're going to know that is to have the Bible as your source and to have the Holy Spirit as your guide. The Bible as your source and the Holy Spirit as your guide. He'll lead you into all truth. And guess where you end up? Jesus. Because Jesus is all truth. Amen? That's all he is. He has nothing but truth because he is truth completely. So last time we got together, we talked about Ephesians chapter 1. We talked about the Holy Spirit being the earnest down payment. Remember that? He's the earnest, or he's the down payment. So we can know of a surety that God is for us and he's with us because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Is that right? You know you're saved not because you go to a church building and pay tithe or give an offering. You know you're saved because the Holy Ghost inside of you bears witness with you. Amen? And so when we're in ministry and in life, we have to have the Holy Spirit teaching us and leading us and guiding us into truth. So when we hear words and reports and prophecies and teachings and sermons that are contrary, the Holy Spirit will speak up and stand up within you and say, uh-uh, that ain't right. You ever been somewhere, you ever heard something and just had like a flag come up in your spirit? Something just made you say, man, I don't know about that. Sometimes that is your opportunity to go back and study something maybe you didn't know, but many times it's a warning of false teaching. We talked about in verse 17 that he will give. When essence, he already gave. When you're born again, he gave us the spirit of wisdom. Remember Sophia? That's the skill in the management of affairs. God doesn't want you dumb. God doesn't want you lacking. God doesn't want you behind. God doesn't want you struggling for answers. He wants to give you skill and management of your affairs. I'm going to tell you something, and this may be contrary to a lot of preaching, but I do not believe God wants you to live a life of struggle. There are times of trials and testings and times when God's disciplining you, he's discipling you, and he's taking you through something to get something out of you, that he will allow those things to come. But the nature of God and the essence of God is for you to be successful in him. And again, successful and success has nothing to do with cars, has nothing to do with jobs, homes, bank accounts. The greatest success is to have peace with God. The greatest success is to put your head down on your pillow before you go to bed at night and know that there's everything is well between you and heaven. And then to wake up and know nothing's changed. Is anybody here? Boy, that's the greatest sign of success. Then all the other blessings begin to follow you. I feel like preaching the whole thing over again. But basically the spirit of Sophia, management of your affairs. And I need that in my life. Verse 18, photizo, remember that? It's talking about the photograph. God wants you to be enlightened. He wants that photograph of his word to be indelible inside of you. He wants that mark to be inside of you, that whenever a situation, a circumstance comes, you don't churn to the photograph or the photo album of the world to look for answers. Man, you go right to the word of God. Isn't that wonderful? And that's what he wants for you and for I. And so there's other scriptures, Philippians 3:12, Galatians 4:6-7. And go back and study that if you will and get a greater perspective as to what the Father is saying in the book of Ephesians. It's definitely a different way of looking at it when you begin to understand that the process of your maturity will develop greater discernment inside of you. That's supposed to happen. We look at preachers and people, and we look at other people, and we compare ourselves, and we find ourselves short because, and we consider ourselves behind because they have this or they have that. Man, it's all about spending time with God yourself. You can walk in this maturity. You can walk in that revelation, but you have to apply yourself. Okay, we're talking about discernment tonight, as we've been for the past couple weeks. I want to start out with this quote. The church must operate in the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. not too deep of a statement, but it is very, very necessary in this hour. The church must operate in the supernatural giftings of the Holy Spirit. I say that because so many churches do not operate in the supernatural gifts of the Holy Ghost. They operate in emotions. They operate in the a lifestyle that's around them, fad and fiction and fantasy and everything that is of the world. And very few dive in to the depth of the Holy Ghost and the giftings that are available. And it's sad because we are more person-driven as a church than we are of the Holy Spirit. Let me try that again. We are more person-driven, personality. Oh, when the preacher steps up, man, lights, action, camera, and everything begins to happen. Here comes Mr. Hollywood, and it's all about him. It's about his clothing. It's about his wife. It's about this. It's about what he just got. All the things, the entrapments of the world, when really we need the Holy Ghost. I mean, you don't walk into a jail cell and flash everything around and 21 people get saved on Christmas Day. You walk in with the heart of the Father, the love of God, and the sacrificial attitude that I came there to help you, and men's hearts melt before God and people get saved. That's how it works. 1 Corinthians, let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Did I tell you I love you already? I love you. I appreciate you. Very, very much. I am so excited about New Year's Day service, about the Word of the Lord. I'm excited about fellowshipping with you as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to go to verse 1, and I'm going to teach my way down to where I need to be. Verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, really the translation should be manifestation or things pertaining to the Holy Ghost. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, the translation should be manifestation or things pertaining to the Holy Ghost, because it's not necessarily about giftings, it's about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Because what happens when we use the word gifts, and they are ministry gifts, and I got all that, and I teach it in that way, in the category of gifts. But when we start saying gifts, then we look at the things of the Spirit as possessive, as I own the gift. And you do not own the gift. You are leased the gift. You are given the gift to operate through you. But the reality is, it is the Holy Spirit who's ministering through you. Most of you know, you get around people that are super spiritual or whatever, they'll say, well, my gifting is this and my gifting is that. And I got all that. I understand it. Again, I teach that in category. I teach that in understanding and the possession of that. But the reality is, it is of the Holy Spirit. And if we don't teach it from that perspective as a foundation, then we begin to think that we are Mr. and Mrs. Gift to the church. Is that right? And then we start following people. Watch this. We start following people who have giftings, and the favorite giftings we like are what we are attracted to, and that's who we hang around. And we won't follow and listen to others because we have an attractive gift that we are pursuing, whether it's healing or prophecy. There are people who operate in prophecy and the inspirational gifts and so on and so forth. People are so attracted to that, they don't want to deal with anything else in the body. Does that make sense? And so we become stagnated. We become divisional in our belief system, and we become one-dimensional. God does not want the church one-dimensional. He wants us to flow. And how do we flow? Here's how you flow. Now, concerning the manifestation or things pertaining to the Holy Ghost, I would not have you ignorant. The translation of the word ignorant in the Greek is what? Misinformed. He said straight out, he said, I don't want you to be misinformed about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to miss out through a lack of understanding, a lack of proper teaching about the wonderful flow of the Holy Ghost of God. Do you see that with me tonight? And one of the keys to not being misinformed is having the truth of the word written in an indelible mark within your spirit. Proper teaching, proper reading, proper asking of questions to the Holy Ghost and learning, not just taking the word of a man or woman, but taking the word of God and studying it for yourself. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman what? Needeth not to be ashamed. He has to approve. He has to be approved by God by taking that word and studying it for himself. Paraphrasing it for you, but you understand what I'm talking about. The responsibility is on you and me. Verse 2, you know that you are Gentiles, carried away unto dumb idols, even as you were led. Now, if you've ever read this, and I know you have, we've taught on this, you come to verse 2, and verse 2 don't seem to fit, does it? Because if you go in verse 1, he's talking about the spiritual gifts, then he talks about idols, and then he goes into understanding the spiritual gifts. There's a reason why he said what he said. Watch it again. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. So he begins in verse 1 and says, I don't want you to be ignorant and be misled, because there was a time when you followed dumb idols. They couldn't speak. They couldn't hear. They couldn't do anything. They had no value for you, and they did not lead you into the manifestation of God. So he's bringing this out to the Corinthians, and it applies for today, and here's how it applies. Don't follow churches and people who don't minister under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who don't minister under the manifestation of the gift of God, because if you do, you might as well worship a dumb idol. Are you listening to me? Because you have to have the ministry of the Holy Spirit in order to be successful in life and in ministry and Christianity. Again, successful has nothing to do with money and stuff. You have to clarify that because people get off the chart and they freak out. No, man, success is loving God, man, being full of the Holy Spirit, being full of the fruit of the Spirit. Wouldn't that be nice? I don't think we'd have too many mall brawls over the holiday weekend. What was wrong with people? I mean, just beating each other up. I watched this one video, and if I could just virtually go in the video, I would have stopped. No, how would I say that? Slap some Jesus into the guy? I don't know. I'd have to find some politically correct statement. But I'm going to tell you right now, I mean, this guy knocked out this old lady because she was standing too close to him in the line. And my skin, I mean, I felt Dirty Harry coming on. And, you know, but what's going on? People just becoming unhinged. Unhinged. We're living in a life of insanity around us. But we shouldn't have that same ignorance in the church. We should be led by the Holy Spirit. And this is why Paul put verse 2 in there. He says, you once were led by dumb idols. Don't be led by dumb idols again. You say, Pastor, that's pretty strong to say. I wouldn't go to a church where the manifestation of God wasn't present. I wouldn't go to a place where there was the absence of the presence of God. I don't care how long grandma's been going there. I don't care how long your brother, your sister, I don't care how much money they gave. I don't care about any. I don't care if Paul built the building. If the Holy Ghost of God is not there, and if God is not speaking in the revelant word for my hour right now, I wouldn't hang there. Sorry, just wouldn't do it. And this is what Paul is saying. He said, look, man, you were once led by dumb idols. Why don't you come out of the caveman mentality? Why don't you come out of that prehistoric mentality and get into the vibrant life of God church, living waters flowing freely? That's what he's talking about. How many of y'all are glad you are here and ignited? Come on. We're listening to God. We want to know more God. We want to know more manifestation. We want to see more of the Spirit of God. And I believe as we press in, we will. But I know one thing. We're not going to have no dumb idols in our lives. So he begins in verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now these are the diversities of the gifts, but the same Spirit. These are the diversities of the gifts, but the same Spirit. Again, talking about the Holy Ghost of God, he's beginning to talk about the revelation gifts. The revelation gifts here shortly. Watch this. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Difference of administrations, but the same Lord. Okay? So he said diversities, verse 4, and then there's a difference of administrations. So in other words, the Holy Ghost will do as he wants to do, lead as he wants to, manifest his glory as he wants to, and listen, he will allow what he desires at a specific time to take place within a church service, whether you're in a jail ministry, whether you're in Walmart, wherever you are, he'll allow that manifestation to take place. Watch, verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. So Paul's trying to say it's the Holy Spirit that's manifesting himself in different ways. You see, this is why I say don't get caught up on the gifts per se. Well, I got the gift of this and I got the gift of that. Well, that's wonderful that those gifts are operating in your life and you should identify them. And I do teach that from this pulpit and in ISM. I teach you to understand your gifts, but don't act like they're possessive, because I'm going to tell you why. When you box God in, you box God out. When I first was born again and called into the ministry, I knew exactly the giftings that God gave me. I asked him, he showed me, he told me, I operated in them. And as I got older and more mature in the Lord, and I'm still climbing, I'm still going, I'm nowhere where I need to be. But as I continue to press in and understand God, get more revelation, I now say, Holy Ghost, do what you want to do. I do what you want to do. I understand my basic bedrock giftings that God uses me with. But I say, God, let today be a day of miracles, man. Prophesy through me. If you're going to use anybody in this service, let me interpret a tongue. Come on, somebody. If you're going to give anybody a word of knowledge, let it be me. And so what you do is you open the rivers of living water and you say, Holy Spirit, channel yourself any which way you want to. Now, people will take that as a New Age term, but the channel is this, the rivers of living water. And I teach this, and if I had an ability to show everybody, it's basically a river, and there are outflows out of that river that lead to the word of knowledge, they lead to the revelation gifts, and so on and so forth. You know what I'm talking about in this room. And so I say, Holy Ghost, just do what you want to do and flow through me. Amen? Without being possessive and saying, okay, well, this is all you can do, God. I can interpret tongues. That's all I do. You shouldn't do that, because when you do that, you limit the Holy Spirit from operating in you and through you. Remember, when you box God in, you box him out of what he wants to do. Okay? So watch this. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. How many? Every. Everybody who's born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, that wants to operate in the things of God, he says, every man to profit with all. So the Holy Spirit has one agenda, to profit. To profit who? God. He has a profit. He wants to profit. He has a desire to profit, and that is souls. Souls is his profit. The kingdom being expanded is his profit. Everybody knowing about Jesus is his reward. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And not only that, he allows the rewards and the residue of the rewards to come upon you as well. Isn't it great when you lay hands on somebody and cancer falls right off? Well, you don't get the glory for it, but you get part of the reward of saying, man, I was there. Thank you for using me, Lord. I felt the electricity leave my body. Thank you. Thank you, God. Amen. Even the garden hose gets wet, too. Is that right? He does his job and he gets a little wet. All right. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit. I'm not going to get into all these because that's not what we're teaching tonight. I need to get to verse 10. So I'll just do the first one. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. These are the revelation gifts. That's the reason why I'm reading it, because I'm going to give you the third. Remember, there's nine gifts. It is divided in threes. Is that right? So the first one is the revelatory or revelation gifts. Okay? That's the manifestation of God or the Holy Ghost. Now let's go to verse 10. Again, we'll teach these in the proper time of the Lord. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. And to another, discerning of spirits. Now, we're going to talk about discerning of spirits tonight as a gift. We've been talking about discernment, and now we're going to go into the gift aspect, the Holy Ghost manifestation of discerning of spirits. Okay, so I want you to write this word down for discerning. D-I-A-K-R-I-S-I-S. Diakrias. D-I-A-K-R-I-S-I-S. And that's Strong's number 1253. That's going to be, obviously, it's going to be the Greek, okay? Diakrias, for discerning, okay? Is it okay if I just spelled it instead of putting it on the board? Is that okay? Might help a little bit, too, for those listening. And hopefully one day when we get some more help, we'll start doing these Wednesdays online and with video. But that'll be down the road. Okay, so discerning. What does that mean? Diakrias. It means to separate, making a distinction. And here's a word most people in church have been misinformed about. Judging. Okay? So discerning of spirits. It's to separate, to make a distinction, and it also means judging. Why I said people don't like to hear that in the church, because you always hear them say, well, I'm not called to judge. Well, you're supposed to know their fruit, but you better understand the motive of their spirit, too. You better judge them. You better ask the Holy Spirit to help you. I've asked this question all the time from this church. How many of us would be so much better if we just would have had a little more discernment about who we hooked up with? It don't matter relationship, business, deal, person just got in the car with you. Bible says to show yourself friendly, absolutely, but you need to have discernment. Remember this, and I want you to write this down. Discernment, it is the radar of truth. Discernment, it's the radar of truth. When you talk about discerning, it tells you what is true and who is truthful. It's the radar of truth. It's discernment. It lets you judge. It lets you separate. It gives you supernatural understanding. Why? How? It's the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm always careful, again, to not lay the title of gift on it, even though that's what it is. But with the understanding of maturity, it's the Holy Spirit judging through you, discerning through you, separating for you, being a radar of truth. When you have the Word of God inside of you and the Holy Spirit living inside of you and you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, you're in a win-win situation because you're allowing the Word to come up and the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Word. And then all of a sudden, if it is God and good, you got a green light. If they're bad and it's not right, then you got a flag. That check. Again, I wish so many times I would have just listened to that check in my heart. The little voice of the Holy Spirit saying, that might not be right. Well, I'm emotional and I'm excited and she's good looking and that's this and they got money. You know what I'm talking about. And then all of a sudden, all that discernment, because the Holy Spirit doesn't always yell. He won't always yell because he is taking you through a life of faith. And you still have to learn how to hear. That's your responsibility. I guarantee if you would have shut up for a second and turned the music down, he might have been hollering. But for the most part, he was saying, don't. I'm telling you, don't. I remember one time, years and years ago, I was driving, and I don't know how this will play out in people's minds and theology, but I'll just tell you how my friend the Holy Spirit works with me. I was driving down the road, and I was going straight, and I really wasn't going over. I think I might have been going just a couple miles over, but I was going downhill, okay? Holy Spirit said, turn left now. Come on, man. I'm going to go this way. This route's better. Well, I went a little further, and I got pulled over and got a ticket. It was a speed trap. I was breaking the law. Yes, I was going, well, you mean the Holy Ghost was a criminal with you? I didn't say that. I'm just telling you he was warning me. Maybe my speedometer was wrong. Maybe that was a cash cow for that particular city. I don't know. But all I know is he said turn left, and I ignored it because I wanted to go this way, and I had to pay a ticket. You can deal with the Holy Ghost on your own theology. All I know is I should have obeyed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever been there like that? I just didn't listen. So discernment is the ability to separate. Now watch this. Discerning of spirits. What are we judging? What are we trying to discern? What are we trying to separate when he says discerning of spirits? Well, there's only three spirits in the earth that you need to discern. Number one, is it the Holy Spirit? Number two, is it an evil spirit? Number three, is it a human spirit? Now, in those categories, they can be divided, obviously, in subcategories. But the three spirits that operate in the world today is God's Holy Spirit, the devil and his minions, his demon powers, the evil spirits, and then there's the human spirit. So let's take that and digress just for a minute and get a better understanding. Number one, the Holy Spirit. Obviously, I must be able to separate what is God. I must understand when I'm hearing a man or woman preach, I have to have discernment and separate and judge, is this person speaking truth? Because remember, what Paul is trying to teach the Corinthians is the ability to avoid false teachers and those who would lead you astray and bring you back to dumb idols. Okay, when it comes to revelatory gifts. And discerning of spirits is part of revelatory or revelation gifts. So he says the Holy Spirit. Now, the second is evil spirits. Who you're listening to. Who is trying to do a business deal with you. Who's trying to marry you, or you're trying to marry, or whatever. There's so many categories here, but it is the evil spirit that the Holy Spirit will help you discern and to judge. Again, our life would be so much better if we just learned how to discern some of these things in our past. And then the human spirit, the third and final, is the human spirit. What is the human spirit? It's the will of another person. What are they trying to will on you? What are they trying to get out of your pocket? What are they trying to get out of your life? What are they trying to get out of the church? Doesn't necessarily have to be an evil spirit sent by Satan or sent by a reigning municipal authority, a spiritual hierarchy. It doesn't have to be that. A regional spirit is what I'm trying to get at. It doesn't have to be that. It can just simply be a person's human spirit that they are just manipulators. You ever met anybody like that? I mean, they'd get the lint out of your pocket if they could. They just manipulate you, man. They're experts at it. And yes, that's evil as a spirit, but for the most part, it's their human spirit trying to will on you. It happens in the church all the time. People, they want to will their desire on the pastor. They want to will their desire on the elder and leadership. They want to will, you know, they come in and it's my way or the highway. It's a human spirit. And you have to be able to discern. You have to be able to say, wait a minute, that ain't the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute now, that ain't right. We're not going to allow that to take place in our lives. That person that's calling you up all the time for money and these different things, you got to finally say and judge it for what it is and say, I'm not going to allow you to do it no more. That human spirit ain't going to work. Well, I feel emotional when they talk, and I feel really compelled to do something. No, you're just being manipulated. Codependency. A lot of people, a lot of parents, a lot of people are codependent on others, and they feel bad because they don't help. I'm sure Brother Mike sees it in the jail all the time with codependency. I saw it when I worked in the prison system. You know, they would just manipulate their family that came to visit, and they would just give money and give money. Well, you know, if you're in the system, you understand where that money goes. It doesn't go just to Cracker Jacks and other stuff. It goes to supporting a lifestyle in there. But the point is this, manipulation and those different characteristics can come from a human spirit. And we have to be careful so that we don't walk in that deception and be trapped. Is that okay? Do you see that? So that is the separation or judging of these different types of spirits so that we can walk in the victory that has been given to us. There was a story about that Dr. Lester Sumrall had spoke, the late Dr. Lester Sumrall, and he was in this church and he was preaching a revival, and this lady came in and she was part of the service, you know, sitting down, listening, and she was well-dressed, well-mannered. And just near the end of the service, she stood up and she spoke out real loud. She said, "I am so-and-so. I'm from a such-and-such city, and I'm here to bring revival to this church. I'm here to do great and great mighty things." And as she was boasting and speaking these things, Dr. Sumrall said that you could feel coldness come over the church. And then over to the corner was an older lady praying. And then she stood to her feet and she began to prophesy. And she said, "You're a whore from St. Louis, Missouri." Told her where the exact city she lived in. She actually lied. She said, "You're a whore, and the man you're living with is not your husband." And she said, "If you don't get right, you'll die tonight in this church." And when everybody looked up, the lady was gone. So what is that? Discerning of spirits. That little old lady in the house had enough Holy Ghost inside of her to stand up and say, "You're a whore. You don't belong in this house. You're lying. You're operating under witchcraft." She better be glad Dr. Sumrall didn't get a hold of her. Well, maybe she would have been glad she would have got born again. The point is this. How many times do people come into churches and rule the pastor and rule the boards and rule the people and rule this and rule that? You give them a position and all of a sudden they become Hitler. And you, listen, it's easier to promote somebody than it is to take them out. Remember that in your life. It is easier to put someone in position than it is to yank them out, because when you remove them, here comes some tares and here comes some wheat. Here comes some pain, here comes some flesh, and a whole lot of blood. See, if we would learn that and have discernment and say, "Well, why don't you just sit for a little bit, honey? Let's just check you out. Let's just watch you for a little bit and see what God says." No, we don't do that because we promote by sight, don't we? Yes, we do. We still have the Saul syndrome in the church. That'll preach. That'll preach. We have the Saul syndrome. She's good looking. He's good looking. Man, they can sing. Oh, boy, I tell you this. Well, they threw a $100 bill in. Oh, boy. And next thing you know, they're in position and you're in trouble. You let the spirit of Python get inside of your church and they will choke everything down. Amen. Well, that's tough love, isn't it? To speak these things and to watch over the house of God. But we don't have that anymore. Discerning of spirits, it's very, very rare in the church, and that's why we're in the condition we're in. That's why we vote the people we voted in. And that's why we're going to get what we're going to get. Because, again, church is not discerning this whole thing with Israel. The church is not discerning this whole issue with Israel. Life is normal and everything's just fine. Okay, so discernment is protection against false teaching. I want you to write that down. Discernment is against false teaching. Okay? If you hold your spot there, let's go to 1 John 4. Even though I've already taught on that for deception, I want to go back to it. Okay? Because it's all the Word of God and it's all good. And we can build upon this truth and maybe see a new revelation in here. All right. 1 John 4, 1 says, "Beloved..." That's me, by the way. You got your name in there? beloved. I think it says Benjamin in the Greek. I'm not sure. No, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit. People and movements, you can add that to your understanding there. You can write that down. I have it in my Bible. I wrote it in there. Believe not every spirit, people and movements. Because spirits possess people and spirits possess movements. False revivals, false teachers, false this and false that. You better be careful who you hang out with and listen to and watch on television. But try the spirits. Remember, the word try is to judge, examine, and to test. Try the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets, how many? Many, are gone out into the world. They're out there. They're deceiving the folks. They're robbing the church. Listen, how can I say? You have to have the Word of God inside of you to understand whether something is true or not. So many of these guys on TV and whatever, they're just begging for money. It's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. I understand needs, and I understand going to the people and whatever. But, man, you know, you get bombarded with Christian emails and Christian mail-outs begging for money. It was funny because last week you said you were on top of the world. And now all of a sudden the end of the year is coming and everybody's crashing. I just wish we had a little more discernment and you wouldn't be robbed so much from these charlatans that are out there. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. All right, so let's go to a couple more examples and I'm going to get out of your way. Acts chapter 5, check this out. Acts chapter 5, and you can just leave 1 Corinthians because we won't go back to it. I just wanted to talk to you tonight about the gifts of the gift of discernment. And by no means is that a complete teaching on it. But watch this. Watch some examples. You ready? Acts chapter 5. You're going to see this again. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. Ananias and Sapphira, remember them? Sold a possession. Now watch this. Please understand, discernment has nothing to do with carnal, natural knowledge. Nothing. Has nothing to do with, oh, I read about that, or I heard about that, or some preacher hearing a conversation before service and laid hands on you and discerns, I discern that you such and such. No, 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 no. Discernment is completely just, and I use this phrase lightly, out of the blue. It's not out of the blue. It's from the Holy Spirit. But to you standing there as a minister, as a person, it's out of the blue. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit drops something down, and you go, whoa, I didn't know that. Watch this. Here's what happens. And kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, it was theirs, right? They can do what they want to do with it. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? You see that? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? So Ananias, he lied. He kept back part of the price. Peter knew it by the Holy Ghost. He discerned. He had discernment that there was a lie. He discerned that Satan had filled his heart. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. I believe that's coming back to the church. Oh, yeah. I believe that Holy Ghost judgment, Holy Ghost conviction, Holy Ghost manifestation is going to be so strong that those that try to come in and lie to the Holy Ghost and try to deceive God's people and try to cheat the kingdom of God, they're going to deal with their maker immediately. You watch. If you want apostolic power, then you have to abide by apostolic principles. And that is, one, persecution must come. And number two, the swift judgment of God will be prevalent. It'll be available if God chooses it. No, Peter didn't do anything. Peter just prophesied. Peter said, let me tell you what the Holy Ghost is going to do right now. Bye. And he checked out. And what happened to his wife? She went with him. Now watch this, Acts chapter 13. There's a whole lot I could preach on there and teach on there, but that's discernment. That was the gift in operation, or the Holy Spirit in manifestation. All right, Acts chapter 13. Now there were in a church, verse 1, in the church that was Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that were called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaim, which had brought up with Herod the tetrarch, and Saul. Watch this, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted in the Holy Ghost, said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein to have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. So there was the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Is that right? He spoke to them. Notice this. They didn't go by talent. They didn't have a preach-off, a sing-off. They didn't have, a talent show. They just said, Holy Ghost, what do we do? Who should we have? Who should we send off? And the Holy Ghost said, lay hands on these. Isn't that awesome? Shouldn't we do that today in the church? Shouldn't we pray? Shouldn't we ask God who's in that position? Who is valuable in that position? Instead of saying, well, this person asked first, and I know their daddy, and I know their granny, and I know that. Really? I'll save a story for another day because it's kind of fresh, but I'll save it for another day. But the reality is we just need to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So watch this. Verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed. Drop down to verse 5. And when they are at Salamis, they preached the word of God. Verse 6. And when they had gone through into the isle of Patmos. Verse 7. And which was the deputy. No, go back to verse 6. And when they had gone through the isles of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. That's what I want you to see. Bar-Jesus. Which means what? Bar-Jesus means part of Jesus, son of Jesus, or in relation with that name Jesus, okay? It was only by name, all right? There are so many people that have the name of Jesus, but they don't operate like him. They don't live like him, okay? So Bar-Jesus, watch. Verse 7, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of the Lord. So basically, here's a ministry opportunity, just like a church service or a witnessing opportunity. The man wanted to hear the word of God. But here comes this guy, Bar-Jesus, Elymas is his name, Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the what? Truth. So here he is trying to minister to this guy. He wants to hear the word of God. Then all of a sudden, here comes a sorcerer. They didn't necessarily know that he was a sorcerer. I don't think he had a name tag. And I doubt he had a little wizard cap on his head. Come on, we don't know what people look like in church. We don't know what people are. They look normal in our lives, don't they? People who intersect with you, people who are brought into your life or invade your life. But watch what discernment does. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the who? The Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. So he was full of the Holy Ghost. Wasn't full of entertainment of the world. He wasn't full of life outside of church. He was full of the Holy Ghost. And said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. Boy, isn't that it? He didn't even give him a visitor's card. He said, oh, full of subtlety. How do you say that word? You all don't even know yourself. Craftiness. Being sneaky. Having a ulterior motive. In all mischief, thou child of the devil, the enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? This is the sermon in action right here. Verse 11, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist of darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So somebody got born again, didn't they? Got born again by the discerning of spirits and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, bringing forth the power of God and thus bringing a soul into the kingdom of God. Amen. Powerful, powerful truth tonight that we've learned that I believe the church is extremely lacking in. Extremely lacking in. We would have pastors who would stay out of adultery if they had discernment and discerning people around them. They would stay out of bad business deals if somebody would speak to them and say, hey, that person you're trying to hook up with, no bueno, not good. Don't do that, pastor. Or pastor says to you, hey, you asked me to pray about something. I'm telling you under the Holy Spirit's unction and discernment, don't make that business deal. Or don't go there, or don't do this. But see, we don't do that much anymore. One, because I don't think we trust one another. But two, it's hard to find people that walk in transparency and genuine power and flow of the Holy Spirit today. But that's going to change. That's going to change because there's a new breed rising up that believes the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we deliver the Word tonight. I pray that everybody listening walks in the discerning of spirits. Discerning what you're saying, discerning what the enemy's trying to do, and discerning what others are trying to do. Father, this gift, this manifestation of your Holy Spirit can also lead into healing as you give us discernment as to what the ailment may be. Father, there's so many avenues to this, but I believe you wanted us to hear tonight that we should not be deceived, but we need to be full of the Holy Spirit and full of the Word of God. And we won't be fooled by the enemy. Father, bless those that are listening tonight. Bless this church. Give us a great, great Sunday coming up. We look forward to hearing the word. And we look forward to fellowshipping in the Holy Ghost. I love you. And I love everybody listening. In Jesus' name, amen.